thinking about starting a business. What do you think? And she said, I'm all with you no matter what you do. I had a lot of other mentors and, you know, relatives. I think I talked to my dad and he's like, you kidding me? There ain't no way in hell you should quit your job in this type of economy. And after all the conversations I've had with everybody, I only had one supporter.
Welcome to Drop the Disc. This week, we're joined by Garnett Johnson, the owner and president of Augusta Office Solutions and Modern Business Workplace Solutions. We talked to him about his journey stemming from east of East Boundary to investing his life into office supplies.
Office supplies? How can you make a living selling office supplies? Are you kidding me?
Starting a business wasn't easy for Garnett, and he talks about the struggles of trying to become profitable and supporting his family at the same time.
It's scary. And you're looking at your savings, it's dwindling, and you're thinking and you're praying, you say, Lord, did I make the right decision?
And now, after business and personal success, Garnett Johnson is giving back to the community and trying to do things that are a little outside his comfort zone.
But somehow I had this desire to always do better. I had this desire to assume some risks, calculated risk, to try to improve not only the lives of me and my family, but other people that are around me. That's what I'm passionate about.
Thank you for joining us today. If you have a passion for business, personal growth, or just Augusta, you're going to love today's episode. Garnett Johnson speaks from the soul and shares some really, really great experiences with us. And if you do enjoy today's episode, we would like to encourage you, we would like to ask you, you know, tell a friend about the show, leave a nice rating or review, and check out, maybe give the social media pages a like at Drop the Disc Pod. And this week, just like every other episode, is sponsored by Nancy Powell of Powell & Associates. And I can actually share a personal story today of me trusting Nancy Powell personally. Because not only did Chris and I use her for our personal real estate, Chris bought his family home with it. I bought the house I'm living in right now through Nancy Powell. But also, my mom reached out to me last week for some real estate advice. And the first number that I gave her was Nancy Powell's cell phone number, because that's how I feel. She is going to give the best advice in every situation. And my mom was surprised to find out that Nancy would sit down with her with no cost and no obligation to learn about what she was doing and try to figure out ways to do it better and to help her. If you are interested in real estate, whether you're buying, selling, just looking at the market, you might want to move, upsize, downsize, maybe you just have some questions, maybe you need some references for some people in the real estate business, Nancy Powell should always be your first call. Give her a call at 706-717-1281 or shoot her an email at nancypowell1977@gmail.com.
Hey guys, I'm Chris.
Hey guys, I'm David.
And we are Drop the Disc Podcast. We have a very special guest with us today, and you are?
I'm Garnett Johnson. President and owner of Augusta Office Solutions and Modern Business Workplace Solutions.
This is going to be a really tough episode for us because we have about an hour to get to know you, and there's a lot to get to know. Garnett, can you give us a little bit of a backstory about the things you're involved in just right now in Augusta?
Yeah.
Briefly.
Briefly. And I hope not to bore you guys too much, but as I mentioned,
not a chance.
I am the president and owner of Augusta Office Solutions and Modern Business Workplace Solutions, where we are a professional services company specializing basically in everything office. So we sell general office supplies as it relates to pens and paper clips. And on our modern business side, we are a full house furniture design from construction up offering company. Specializing in creating unique and productive spaces for the employees for many businesses, not only in this region, but across the country.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think about this studio?
It's a 10.
Yeah. Well,
ooh,
You guys have one of the classiest digs in all of the city. You have a great view overlooking this beautiful city we have. It's a small, intimate space that kind of transforms you when you walk into this room that takes you someplace else.
Thank you for saying that.
Thank you. Yeah. We are missing furniture, but it's okay.
Right. So, Garnett, there's a lot to talk about here, but we want to take it back to kind of our first question that we like to start off with, which is, did you grow up in Augusta?
Yes, I did. So I grew up in Augusta, actually not far from the studio. As a kid, I used to walk up and down Broad, going to movies at the Miller Theater and at the Imperial. So I grew up in District 1, down in a place where they called the Bottom.
Is that east?
It is east.
Okay.
East of East Boundary.
Okay.
Went to a couple of what I consider pretty good schools because I had some great life lessons, some great mentors. I went to Sandbar Ferry Elementary, which is no longer there. And then went to East Augusta Middle.
Okay.
A lot of great mentors that are what I can call foundations of our community. Lee Beard, which our commission chambers are named after. He was one of my principals at East Augusta.
That's awesome.
And Mr. Bill Prince, who he has a son now who serves in our Georgia General Assembly, was one of my teachers. So I look back at those days very fondly. Still actively engaged in the community. I own several properties down there, a lot of family down there, and I'm passionate about it because even when I was growing up, a lot of people saw this as an undeserved community where there's not a lot of good that come out of it, but there's still a lot of great families that live there. There's a strong foundation of folks that care very passionately about the success of that area. But certainly there's work to be done.
Absolutely.
So, I'm proud to be from there. I still call that home and couldn't be more excited about it.
So right now you're a small business owner.
I am.
And you're also an activist for small businesses, which we'll talk about in a minute. Mm-hmm. Is that what you thought you would do when you were growing up? Is that what you wanted to do?
Never at all. I never imagined actually being an entrepreneur because, as you can imagine, coming from such a poor background, and I didn't have much growing up. My parents, we struggled. As you know, down in East Augusta, it was not always seen as the best schools. There are always all of these external challenges at the time, and I think this still is true today. The area is surrounded by a lot of housing projects. That tend to be, and a lot of people say, the highest crime areas. There's so many things that could easily pull young men, and I'm going to speak specifically, easily pull young African-American men in the wrong direction. And, you know, I was in that environment. So, you know, it takes when people say it takes a village, it takes a strong village of parents and other relatives and caregivers to really help to make that path a little, I guess, more clear for young men, especially that are trying to grow, you know, their lives and trying to grow a career and trying to do something with their education. So
you mentioned middle school, high school, and college. How did that go?
So I went to East Augusta Middle School in the eighth grade, and I tell this story all the time. My mother, you know, life has all of these disruptions that are created. And my mother at the time, she created one of my life disruptions. In the eighth grade, excited about going to Lucy Laney High School, my mother said, you know what? I'm not going to send you to Laney because you have been running with these troublemakers and knuckleheads in these.
So you potentially got sucked into a couple of those things.
I mean, potentially. Almost.
Potentially.
Potentially, yeah. So, you know, I didn't have a single mother. I had a two parent household, but my dad was a truck driver. He was always on the road. So essentially I had a single parent household. My mother, 90% of the time, was chiefly responsible for my upbringing. She worked sometimes a second shift job. So there was a lot of opportunity for me to perhaps make the wrong choices, hang with the wrong people. And I think she identified that and she said, you know what, we're sending you to Butler High School. So I went kicking and screaming to South Augusta. And it was a different Butler back then. I had the opportunity to embrace diversity, had the opportunity to create some new friendships. And it gave me a whole different perspective and outlook as to what I could become, because originally it was my goal just to graduate high school and perhaps get a job and just be what I consider a cheerful contributor to our society. But Butler opened my eyes a little differently, being engaged in new friends, different perspectives. I realized that potentially I could go to college, and I did. Graduated from Butler and started my college career at Georgia Southern University. Somewhat successful. Probably the biggest success is that's where I met my beautiful wife, Toni.
Very successful.
Yes.
When did y'all meet? What year did y'all meet?
We met in 1991. down at Georgia Southern University and on Sweetheart Circle in a girls' dorm called Hendricks Hall.
That was when I was born.
There's a really? Massive backstory. Hendricks Hall.
There's a massive backstory because today it's I think it's an administrative building, but along Sweetheart Circle is where all of the, I guess most of the female dormitories were. So that's where I met her down at Georgia Southern as a student. I didn't do as well as a student because I tell people this story all the time. I wasn't prepared mentally, financially, certainly not prepared because my parents just didn't have the resources to really contribute to it. And just being a young black male, I just wanted an opportunity to earn some money. So I ended up, I don't want to say quitting, but I dropped out for a while, came back to Augusta, took a job just to try to, you know, reset.
Yeah.
And nothing will motivate you more than going back to school and working a menial job in the summers at Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah, so what were you studying to do versus what you came back and did?
You're exactly right. So at Georgia Southern, I was a chemistry major. I had a very influential chemistry teacher. His name was Terry Tisdell at Butler High School. And I said, man, I kind of like, you know, chemistry and formulations and all of these things. And perhaps I want to be a chemist or something of that sort. And so initially at Georgia Southern, I was a chemistry major. And when I dropped out, took this menial job, came back to Augusta, I realized that I had a knack for creating deals. I had a knack for building relationships. I had a knack for being able to take something that, in some people's opinion, has no value and creating and finding value. And that's what led me to sales, which I think is the best job in the entire world. You know why? It gives you the opportunity to go and determine how much you want to make. It's all dependent on you and what you sell and how you sell, how you build relationships, how you create value. That's where I've been successful. That's when I realized that I need to be in business. I need to be in sales. So I got back in as a non-traditional student at Augusta State University. Back then, you could go to school in the evenings. Mm-hmm. So I worked a job 6:30 to 3, and classes started around 5 o'clock, and then went to 11 at night. So it really takes a commitment to work all day, to get off, go shower, and then go sit in class till 11 o'clock. And then you start your day all over again about 5 the next morning. And I did that for many years because, you know, as a non-traditional student, you can only get the classes. It takes a lot longer. Mm-hmm. But I think that proved that I have resolve to get things done. And I'm proud of how I've done that. Financially, I didn't have the ability to pay for it, but I worked for a great company, International Paper, that provided what they call a tuition reimbursement program. Mm-hmm. So, and they were very, very helpful and, you know, helpfully to create a schedule that allowed me to go to school. So that's how I was able to graduate from our great now Augusta University.
So when was that? When did you graduate?
I graduated in 1998.
And how old were you at the time?
Gosh, I was probably 27 or 28. So when I say non-traditional student, very non-traditional. I didn't graduate at 22 or 23, but I had a lot of great life lessons along the way, working a lot of great jobs. And some of the jobs I call menial, but they always paid well. I really didn't have any desire to probably go back to college beyond wanting to always do better. And even to this day, I'm never comfortable or satisfied with anything. Right. I'm always looking forward to the next challenge.
And you didn't even mention, I mean, you're working full-time job, mm-hmm. going to class, and you're in a long-distance relationship.
Long-distance relationship. Hey, that's right.
That is almost six years. That is not easy.
It is not easy. So, you know,
it
Tony.
It obviously worked out.
I know. It did work out. And I'm going to share this because not a lot of people know this besides our family, but we were in a long-distance relationship where we would see each other every other weekend for years.
Wow.
For years. So I'm probably sharing a bit more information than my wife would probably want.
Sorry, Tony.
But it worked out. It worked out, and we were able to stick it out. And you know what? She's my biggest cheerleader, my biggest supporter, and she's everything.
We'll be right back with more Garnett Johnson at Augusta Podcast Studio right after this message.
Have y'all been to Savannah River Brewery for any kind of events that they put on? I'm telling you right now that y'all are missing out if y'all have not. I mean, obviously, you want to try some really good craft beer. And when I say really good, I mean they go all out. In fact, tonight my wife and I are going to trivia night, and I'm going to get a Dungeons and Flagons. What is that? That's their new double IPA. It comes out once a year. It's something you don't want to miss. Check out Savannah River Brewing. Check out their beer. And check out their Facebook events page. They've got great stuff that happens every night. They're even open on Mondays. Nothing is open on Mondays, so why not go check them out? Savannah River Brewing.
And check out a couple other events they have coming up. They have trivia this coming Wednesday. The theme will be science. And then on July 10th, keep your eyes peeled for more information about this event, but Luau Fest will be going on. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have Pure Indigo out there headlining. We're going to have Jason Shepherd playing some Buffett music. We're going to have fire dancers. It's going to be a great time. Savannah River Brewery, an all-around great place to spend your time. And an all-around great beer to spend your time with.
That's so great. In 1998, when you graduated, mm-hmm. what was the next step for you? You said that you wanted to go in sales.
Mm-hmm.
But you hadn't really hit that point where you wanted to be an entrepreneur yet.
I did not. So I wanted to be in sales. I had to make the transition from International Paper, which was an industrial paper maker in South Augusta.
And are we talking about like the office, like you're selling paper to different businesses? Like what was that?
Yeah, so competing with Staples?
What are you talking about? So let me just tell you about the industry. So okay. I graduated in 1998 and I was focused on getting a job in sales. I was offered a lot of opportunities to do other things because I came from a manufacturing environment. And at one point I thought that was the path. International Paper, now I think it's Graphics Packaging. They're a great employee, one of our community stalwarts as far as creating an employment base and a tax base to this county. Met a lot of great friends out there, but I realized that I wanted to do more to get engaged with the business community. So, I got a job offer. Actually, I got two job offers. Well, almost three job offers. So when I went into the workforce to kind of start looking for employment opportunities, I was presented with an opportunity to go sell cigarettes for one of the largest cigarette manufacturers in the country, probably in the world.
Wow.
The second was with a drug manufacturer, believe it or not. Isn't that a dichotomy? So I could sell cigarettes or I could sell drugs for one of the pharmaceuticals companies. And the third was with a company called Boise Cascade. I had some familiarization with them because they were in the paper industry. And when I got the opportunity to interview, the hiring manager said, "Well, I know you know Boise Cascade, but this job is in the office supply division." I was like, "Office supplies? How can you make a living selling office supplies? Are you kidding me?" So he presented me with this, I don't know, 500-page catalog. Say, essentially what we do, businesses don't have the opportunity to go out into our retail stores. So we're a business-to-business stationer. Some of our largest clients include some of the Fortune 1000 companies in the country. The job was based out of Atlanta, but I was responsible for territory. Everything east and south of Atlanta. So I covered, when I initially was hired, Augusta, Savannah, all the way down to the Florida line. And we had companies in essentially every vertical. We had a healthcare vertical that primarily specialized in large healthcare systems, Delta Airlines, Home Depot, at the time First Union, Wachovia, Bank of America. Those were some of the customers because these large organizations don't go out to Staples, right. The retail store.
Yeah, they're not supplies. Going to Walmart.
They have very elaborate procurement systems that they put in place that enables their end users to order supplies and they're delivered to them on the next day.
So what made you choose office supplies over, obviously, like you could easily make the ethics argument, but from like a financial standpoint, drug reps and mm-hmm. I assume cigarettes in the early 2000s, they're making a lot of money.
And you know what? I guess it was a comfort level knowing that Boise Cascade, the familiarization with the paper industry. And at one point I thought about perhaps I can start off in the office products industry. And then when there's an opening in the paper division, I could move over.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't happen because I love the industry and the supply industry so much that, and I found a lot of success there that I essentially stayed. And people tell me when we have these, well, we used to have these national conferences. There's a community of independent office supply dealers across the world.
Mm-hmm.
They say once you're in this industry, you tend to stay, and they're right. Once you kind of learn the lingo and understand the business model behind it, people tend to stay.
So
even then, I never thought about the entrepreneurial route, though.
Right. I mean, you're selling you were selling paper. Now you're going to be selling staples that go on paper, paper clips, highlighters, pens, everything that
full
paper
circle
needs.
Paper.
Yes. And I tell you what really drew me in is when we had our first conference, when I was at Boise Cascade, which is now Office Max, Office Depot, they had these national conferences. You can't imagine how competitive the ink pen industry is.
I bet.
I went to a trade show. They have this room lit up. It's kind of like a car show with all these pens. Every year they introduce this. No, seriously. They introduce new models with the silky gliding ink.
I would
and
honestly
all those
love
things.
To try pens at a conference.
Clicker?
Yes. Right. Just, oh, wow, the smooth.
It's amazing. You're amazing. You're amazing. So, you know, in order to make a living at it, you can't sell them by the box. You got to sell them by the truckload, which we did.
Yeah.
We did. But even today, with all the changes, it's a great industry. Never thought about it.
So did you fall in love with the office supply industry?
I did. I fell in love with the company at first. You know, Boise Cascade, you know, finally getting the opportunity to be a professional salesperson gave me an opportunity to have this autonomy because I've never worked at a traditional office. My office was based out of my home. Very rarely did I see my managers, but I felt chiefly responsible for my business and my book of business as though it were mine. Even though it belonged to the company, it were mine. I managed the customers and the relationships and the revenue streams and the profitability, and also was responsible for all the problems because there are always problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I saw it as my business,
right.
Even though, you know, I worked for an organization.
So how long did you work for them?
So we were there almost 11 years.
Oh, so we're talking about almost 2010?
Almost 2010.
Okay.
So, and actually it was into 2010. And then, you know, we had the Great Recession in 2007.
Great time to be selling to small businesses.
It was a great time to be selling to small and big businesses. It was
really
challenging. Yeah, it was still challenging because, believe it or not, organizations still needed supplies.
I'm sure that drove you, though. Sounds like that was a rise to the challenge.
That was a rise to the challenge. So at the time, and this was more prevalent with every organization during that time, they were getting a lot of consultants involved in taking an assessment of the business models, taking a close look and a keen eye to profitability. Mm-hmm. A lot of those consultants were paid based on the ability for them to save money for their organizations. One of the first way to save money is by controlling payroll cost. And I realized that, you know, in this case, a lot of companies were cutting employees. Most of the employees were cut tend to be tenured, middle age.
Mm-hmm.
A few months later, they would have what I call a hiring bonanza. They go out and hire all these college students at, you know, a fourth or a third of the salaries of the tenured employees. And I realized that at some point that could potentially be me when it's time to send my kids to college.
Mm.
Certainly didn't want to be unemployed or put in a vulnerable position. So I talked to my wife about it and prayed about it. And I said, hey, I'm thinking about starting a business. What do you think? And she said, well, I'm all with you no matter what you do. I had a lot of other mentors and, you know, relatives. I think I talked to my dad and he's like, you kidding me? There ain't no way in hell you should quit your job in this type of economy. And after all the conversations I've had with everybody, I only had one supporter, just one. That's my wife, Tony.
Wow.
She said, you know what? We can always go back and get another job and work for someone else. But here's an opportunity for you to make a gamble in yourself and a gamble for our family. And I support you 200%. We go broke, we go broke.
Shout out to your wife.
Shout out to her.
It's a tough thing to say.
That is a tough thing. I don't know if my wife now would say that.
Let's just go broke. It might work out.
We go broke, we go broke, we'll come back. You know what?
Yeah.
Coming from where I come from, I've been broke before.
Right.
I ain't far from it now.
Yeah.
But I think those are the inherent traits of being an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's willing to assume risk and gamble in themselves and their ability to create something.
Right.
I don't know where I get it from. A lot of people say, to this day, my dad and I always had a contentious relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow I had this desire to always do better, had this desire to assume some risks, calculated risk, to try to improve not only the lives of me and my family, but other people that are around me. That's what I'm passionate about. Not being comfortable anytime, any place.
And you knew
this interview is uncomfortable for me. But I do it because I think it's the best thing to do. And I think just relaying my story.
I could not tell you're uncomfortable.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that, though. You're sharing a lot. And we're really enjoying this.
Yes.
Certainly. Right.
So you started your own business in
2010. I quit a good paying job. And I'll never forget the day. It was July 23rd, 2010 was my last official day.
We're coming up on your anniversary.
Coming up on my anniversary. You're exactly right. So let me just take you back 2 weeks prior. I think it's around July 9th.
My birthday. Happy birthday to me. Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. So I told my wife, I say, Tony, we probably should take a vacation if we're planning on quitting. Because it's probably going to be a long time before we get an opportunity to take another one. So she's like, well, yeah, that's great. And I had a daughter at the time. They were always loved New York City. So going to New York is really not like a vacation. It's a fun city, but it's a lot of work and there's a lot of things to see. So we went to New York, had a phenomenal time. And if I recall, we left New York right before Independence Day, got back to Augusta. And I'll never forget, I think July 9th was maybe a Friday. So I'm sitting there and it took me all day to type this resignation letter on something that's life-changing. I'm typing it, I'm reading it, I'm proofreading. 4:55, 4:56. At 4:59, I send it.
On a Friday?
On a Friday.
So no one's reading that thing.
Well, normally I have a pretty attentive boss, and she would see it. So Friday, I'm looking through my emails, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Still no answer. Wednesday night, she calls me and said, oh, my God, I can't believe this. Let's talk about it. But at that point, I had made the decision that in the best interest of my wife, my family, and my future, that we would make the investment in ourselves. And July 23rd was my last day working for a corporation. Wow. And we started, here's the business model. Here's where it gets scary because, as you know, when you're starting, you don't have any customers, you don't have any employees, you don't have any revenue. At the time, in order to establish a business to be competitive and play in the sandbox as those big box competitors, those big guys who do billions of dollars in sales, you got to be able to invest in systems, which we did heavily in from the beginning. At the time, our wholesale relationships required us to have office space with warehouse. So I couldn't operate this business out of my house. So I'm paying rent, I'm paying, you know, all of these expenses that go along with small business, but no sales for months.
Yeah. It's scary.
And you're looking at your savings is dwindling, and you're thinking and you're praying. You say, Lord, did I make the right decision? If I did, please show me the path and please strengthen me. Mm-hmm. Because it's certainly testing and trying when you know you're trying to do the right thing, but right. You know, oftentimes your prayers are answered. There's always a glimmer of light, and I start to see my glimmer of light, and we always stayed committed to the process.
Right.
Always stayed committed to our principles and doing the right things, being upstanding and ethical in everything we do, and you know, creating a business model to execute, and we stay focused on that. And we're fortunate today that, you know, we've grown the business year over year, most of the time double digits. We're now up to about, gosh, almost 40 employees with an office in Savannah.
Wow.
We have customers all over the country. We service every vertical market from government to healthcare to small business. So anybody that needs supplies, we of course service them. But it's a testament of hard work, determination, assuming risk, having faith, having a great partner. Mm-hmm. That's important. Having a great partner,
right.
Having a great family. So, yeah.
So,
that's who I am.
When was that first sale? I'm sure you can remember that.
Of course I can. I could tell you when it started to change, that first sale. So, we started business. It really didn't get started good until the fall of 2010, August, September. First sale came in around September, mid September, small sale. I think it was probably $30. This lady, I guess she felt sorry for me and said, you know what, you keep begging me and coming to see me, so we're going to try to place an order with your company. And it came through, and I'll never forget it. Our business model is that we have a national distribution of warehouses here in my region. My wholesale warehouses are in my wholesale network is in Atlanta, Birmingham, and Charlotte. And I'll never forget, we got that first order, and these supplies, traditionally, customers place their orders. We then transmit them to our wholesaler. And they come in the middle of the night, normally 1 or 2 in the morning. And we deliver them the next day. I'll never forget, I went there at 6 o'clock and I saw that one box. I said, oh, my God, I got an order. I got to deliver. I couldn't afford delivery van. So at the time, I was the delivery driver. I took that box in my truck. And I went by Krispy Kreme and bought 3 dozen donuts. So if that tells you, any money I made, I lost.
That's all the profit.
That's all the profit.
It's gone.
It's gone. So I took her some donuts and I took her order and I thanked her so much. And then we went back to selling and went back. And then, you know, over the next week, instead of having one box, just 2 or 3 boxes.
Started coming in.
4 or 5 boxes. And all of a sudden, and it is an interesting story. I had a young lady that I went to high school with that she saw me delivering one day. And she said, "Now, I'll just call the office." Yeah, here you are 2 minutes later delivering a box. She said, "You need somebody to answer the phones, man." She said, "How are you doing that?" So I had the office phones forwarded to my cell phone.
Right.
Which is great, which is creative.
Yeah.
But at some point the volume picks up. She said, You need some help, and I got a daughter that needs a job, and she's fairly affordable because she's sitting around house doing nothing. So that point I realized that, you know, and it's tough because you really don't know how business is gonna be. So we made our first hire. Right. Less than 8 months of being in business.
And that was probably way before you had originally planned to start hiring. I'm sure you had goals of, at this point, we're going to hire because we're going to need help.
Right. You know, it is. It is because, you know, I never thought about the hiring aspect. At first, I was thinking about, how do I feed my family? How do I get enough just to provide sustenance and pay the bills and cover the rent and cover this expensive investment of, you know, that we made in order to have these back-end systems? And so it just goes to show, as an entrepreneur, you're always, it's a small business especially, you're always slow to hire because you want to make sure that you get the right person with the right chemistry because, you know, you never want to unfortunately have to lay anybody off. And we can say we've never had to do that.
That's very, very cool.
Yep. Very cool.
How long were you running your business? And I'm kind of asking this for any small business owners out there, before you were profitable?
That's a great question. So, as you know, I started in late 2010. We were definitely not profitable in 2010. Going into 2011, maybe late 2011,
okay,
it got to a point to where I could actually start paying myself. Mm. Not much.
Right.
But something.
But that's how you know.
That's how you know. You said, wow, you know, I've covered all of my expenses. I've paid rent. I've covered my wholesale cost. Everybody's covered. I think I could pay myself $200 a week, maybe, or $100 a week, or whatever.
I think it's kind of important that you ask that question, David, because you know, we're both entrepreneurs as well, and we know that
do not pay ourselves.
We don't.
But it's tough.
I think there's a lot of things to be said for people out there that have these great ideas and they have this model that will work.
Mm-hmm.
But the model,
sometimes it takes time,
and it takes time.
It takes
and
a lot of time.
That's okay.
It took me at least a year to at least pay myself anything. So you have to be committed to the long haul. There are very few organizations or companies that you can start that you start making revenue day one enough to pay yourself.
Right.
And I think that's what deters a lot of entrepreneurs because they think, oh, I'm gonna run a business and I own a business. I'm gonna be filthy rich.
It's not a salary.
I'm gonna be my own boss and I'm gonna start paying myself. But I mean, we're talking, some of these people are single. We're talking about you're a family man.
Oh, yeah. Two kids.
I mean,
kids.
This was a year and a half, maybe. You were able to pay yourself $200 a week.
$200
a
week. Sometimes you didn't pay anything, depending on, you know. So, yeah, it was a couple-year process before we were able to pay anything.
We'll have more of our conversation with Garnett Johnson in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you guys about our friends at The Clubhouse. The Clubhouse has a lot of cool programs that promote local business. They have certainly helped us. Obviously, they're a membership program in the third level of the Cyber Center where you can go and you can run a small business. You can use it as a workspace, but it's a little bit more than that. And this last week, Chris and I actually went there to do a presentation about Drop the Disc and our brand, Augusta Podcast, for one of their affiliates right in their river room overlooking the Savannah River. And their affiliate is called 1 Million Cups. We'll post the link for it, but essentially they let local businesses promote themselves. It's viral, so it can go around on the internet, but there's also people there in person that can help develop you, develop your pitch. It's a really, really cool opportunity. And we would recommend, if you are in that space, we would really recommend learning more about The Clubhouse. You can visit them online at theclubhouse.se. You can visit them in person on the third floor of the Cyber Center, and you can check out their programs, 1 Million Cups. You can check out makestartups.com as well.
So now, the yin and the yang, we're going to massively contrast what you just said by talking about the beautiful facility that you guys have opened up downtown.
Yes.
And an acquisition that you guys did?
Yeah, so let me tell you about the facility first.
Okay.
So, 2017, 2018. And you know, it started earlier than that. I tell you, making a property and an investment in the community is tough.
Which, by the way, where is this location?
This location is at the corner of 11th and Telfair Street. The actual address is 1018 Telfair.
Not a lot of people investing in that specific area in 2017, 2018.
At that time, people thought I was crazy, just like starting a company. They thought I was crazy. Right. So my path to 1018, prior to that, for a couple of years, I had been looking at other places, flicks, warehouse spaces, some existing. And for some reason or another reason, it just never kind of fell together. And then one day my wife and I, and as you know, running a small business, you have to drive and look a lot. When right. I say drive and look, you're always scouting property, scouting opportunities. We drove by this place and I had a neighbor that told me, he said, hey, there's a property that's in foreclosure that I think will buy a deal for you. And I went and looked at it and I said, gosh, it's in the right location, but it's not big enough. If I can get this property next door. And at the time, I think I could share, it was HDUI school. I said, if I could get both properties, perhaps I will have enough space to have an ideal office that includes some warehouse. Mm-hmm. At the time, if you went by and looked at it in 2016, 2017, it kind of looked like a blighted, neglected area with a bunch of abandoned buildings, high homeless population. And you look at the price that you have to pay from a real estate investment, especially commercial real estate. People say, are you kidding me? You got to pay this much for this? Mm. My wife and I eagerly went and invested and bought the foreclosed property. We reached out to the property owner who owned HDUI school at the time. She said, you know, I'm looking to probably consolidate back to one location. We have two. We have one in Augusta, one in Evans. So I would sell to you. So that gave us a perfect opportunity to consolidate two parcels of land and create this 3/4 acre space that could accommodate our office and warehouse. So, all right, so we bought the property. Then the next hurdle is, how do we get a building to go on this property? What do you do? How do you develop it? You got to start engaging architects and designers. You got to engage the city of Augusta to see what's allowed, planning and zoning.
Historic building.
Historic. And you know what? We had a historic building on there.
Yeah.
We had one that predated the Civil War. It's called the Church of Atonement. It was a rectory. And I met with Eric Montgomery, and there was some discussion that the building was in a historic district, but found out that it wasn't. But I still wanted to do, I guess, the historically friendly thing and kind of take that building out and reuse as much as that.
That's cool.
That wood and the things that we could, and we've done that. You know, that's phenomenal that we're able to do that.
So I met you originally because you were hosting the Young Professionals of Augusta at this at your venue, at your new location.
Oh, you've been there.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so insane. No, it's like the future. It's like you walk in, you're like, this is, I didn't even know that desks looked like this. Like you walk in and you learn something.
Yes. Interesting.
Yeah.
Another thing that another thing that you told us about though was this wall that you guys have in there. Mm-hmm. Will you share that story?
Certainly. So as I mentioned, that historic structure, it was the rectory for the Church of Atonement that dates back to 1851.
Super cool.
It is super cool. It had some flooring in it. And I said, man, I would really like to reuse this flooring. So as we were historically friendly raising the building, we took all of the flooring, all of the doors, some of the windows, and I was like, you know, when we build in, but you know, it's hard to kind of incorporate those things in new construction.
Right.
So I told my builder, I said, how do I do this? He put me in touch with a woodworker. He said, hey, take this over to this guy. He may be complaining and reclaiming and all this stuff. And I took it over to him and he kind of x-rayed it and said, it's going to cost you a fortune. This thing has nails and staples and all this stuff in it. So he said, it may not be conducive to using for flooring, but he said that, you should put it on a wall and make accent wall. So that's what we've done.
That's awesome.
We've taken wood from pre-Civil War 1851 that we have repurposed in our building, and we still have about 4,000 square foot of it left that we'll probably use in some form or fashion throughout the building.
I just like that story because it shows how you approached investing in that in that area, which is really awesome.
It is. And you know what, you know, hindsight is I don't know if it's 2020, but if you look at the area now, what it's become, it's amazing. People could not believe just 3 or 4 years ago
the street's kind of beautiful now.
It's beautiful. We've had some great neighbors. Donnie Thompson's a neighbor across the street to the north of us. He's done a great job in creating a more conducive area by taking down an old building. The ivy's Mark and Matt have the apartment building behind us, and there's some great developments that have been planned across the street.
Right.
So Telfair is all of a sudden transformed into this nice hub of apartments and professional office buildings that we're going to be proud of. We have the new fire station that's right down the street. Beautiful building. So, there's a lot of great more things to come. There's a streetscape redevelopment plan and construction plan that's planned for Telfair. So it's only going to help enhance the beauty of the street. So we're proud to be involved. I won't say that, we were one of the first, but we certainly made our mark by making an investment in some blighted properties that's improved the tax base for Richmond County and enhanced the beauty of the area.
Frankly, it makes you look very smart.
Yeah, well, thank you. I won't take much credit for it. Well, thank you.
So I want to take this opportunity now that we've really examined the business to talk about some other things that you've been a part of. I know that it's important to you to be involved on different boards and different organizations. Will you talk about kind of your experience on that side of things?
Certainly will. So I guess being a small business owner and people perceiving you as being smart and having creative ideas, they come to you and ask you to serve in boards and special capacities. And you know what? I'm more than happy to do that. I guess it started out, well, I know it started out with the American Heart Association. I've served on the ELT board for many years. And I started there because I'm passionate about heart disease and cardiovascular disease that's greatly affected my family. And plus a lot of the contributions in our effort goes back to my alma mater, the great Augusta University and the medical college in the form of research dollars and grants. So that's where it started. So it started from a philanthropic standpoint with the American Heart Association. We've also given to other organizations from, the 100 Black Men of Augusta. I had a great mentor who was also at Butler. His name was James Quarles. God bless him. He's no longer with us, but he was always engaged with the 100 Black Men. He said, well, Mr. Johnson, anything you could do to help, I would greatly appreciate, and I also always cheerfully helped him whenever he would call and in any endeavor, because I think that's such a meaningful organization to our community and to help our young men to make sure they're on the right path. And I guess that led to other things like the Augusta Chamber Board, which next year I will be chairman. This year I'm chair-elect. I've gone through the cycle. I've served on that board. On the board, it's through treasurer. Now I'm chair-elect. And I think that's where the advocacy comes in for small business and our small business community and all of our businesses that are engaged in this region. I'm proud to be appointed by Governor Brian Kemp to serve on the Georgia Board of Economic Development.
Wow.
Where I cover the 12th Congressional District, where I'm responsible for creating jobs and opportunities, tourism dollars, everything related to this district. And make
how
sure
fun is that? That must be really cool.
That is really cool. You know, it's a great time, even despite the pandemic, how our state has done to create jobs. I was just listening to the most recent report, almost $8.5 billion in investments in just this the first quarter.
That's insane.
And so it is insane, 24,000 jobs. And, for 8 years, Georgia has been rated the number one state for business.
Yeah,
I believe it too. And it's a lot of great folks that has made that happen. And I'm just proud to be able to learn and serve and see if we can get more of those opportunities to come to Augusta and to our region. And I tell people all the time, sitting on those calls, I get to see all these other regions celebrating their success. Mm-hmm. I want to know how we can bring more of those to our region. So that will be my focus in serving on that board.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more of Garnett Johnson at Augusta Podcast Studio. And of course, we'll close out with a little bit of an overview. And then, of course, the drop the disc question. And I just want to take this moment quickly to promote a couple things we have going on this Friday. That's right. This coming Friday is going to be the second rendition of the Augusta Rocks music series. It's going to be at Garden City Social. Tickets will be on sale at AugustaRocks.com. And proceeds will go to the Salvation Army Center for Hope. We also have a really, really cool new Augusta Rocks apparel line, which is out now on our website. And 100% of those proceeds also go to the Salvation Army Center for Hope. You can find those items on AugustaPodcast.com. And you can find our shop and it'll all be in there. We hope to see you guys on Friday. We hope that we can raise a ton of money for charity. while also having a pretty great time in the process. It will be an open bar. We'll have Luna's pizza truck. It's going to be an awesome experience. And one more time, you can get those tickets at AugustaRocks.com.
You know, David, I don't know about you, but sitting here and listening to this interview, your mama started it by sending you to Butler.
That's where it all started. It really did. And,
you can say that she kind of saw that, yeah, too.
She probably
and,
did.
Would you have been on these boards and sitting in these positions if you had stuck with your paper salesman situation in corporate level?
You know, I don't know. I was at a meeting last night with a gentleman, and obviously he I guess he thinks about it at a higher level. He's like, somebody inherently had to put this in you, this desire to do better and to be what you are. And I don't know. I think it's a combination of a lot of relatives. As I mentioned, we didn't grow up with anything.
Right.
I mean, it's to the point when I was growing up, I was embarrassed for, when I went to Butler, I was embarrassed for my friends to drop me off at my house because I never, the house, I mean, it was in really poor shape, didn't have much, but we had a lot of love. I had a strong mother who believed in me and kind of kept me on the straight and narrow. So, but yeah, it's amazing on the path. That's why I like to share my story, especially with a lot of young black men who think as though there's not a path for them. Not everybody's going to be a basketball player and join the NBA or NFL. Not everybody's going to be a rapper, but you can become and attain this entrepreneurship route that everybody can be involved in. It just takes a little bit of effort, doing things that are positive for the community, staying out of trouble, serving and worshiping our Lord, which is one of them. But there are a lot of other routes besides becoming a football or professional basketball player or a rapper. There are other ways to wealth if you're willing to invest in yourself and invest the time.
So I want to end at least my line of questioning on kind of like a more fun thought experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because you're rolling on, you know, you're on the chamber board. You're about to be the president of the chamber board, yes, which is very exciting.
It is.
Very exciting position. The Georgia Economic Council, you're a small business owner for over 10 years. What are some opportunities, what are some things that you'd like to see come to Augusta?
Well, as I mentioned just briefly, I think that our region needs to do better in enjoying the windfalls that are occurring as a result of this economy.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of this pandemic, I think it's going to create a lot of great and interesting opportunities, especially for small businesses. The ones that are able to execute and cross the hurdles and get through what I call the minutiae of things are going to be the more successful ones. My job as a small business owner, I want to reach back and perhaps show some of the people that are interested in entrepreneurship and how we could do that. How can we create opportunities for Augusta that's being created in other great cities and people always talk about, like Atlanta? They talk about how great Atlanta and Charlotte and Greenville, Spartanburg, and other communities are doing it. You should be able to do this right here in Augusta with the right leadership, the right person to kind of build consensus among the leaders, somebody who has the experience in doing it, not someone who talks about it, but somebody who has the experience in doing it, somebody who's not always the smartest person in the room, certainly not always the smartest, but I'm always among the hardest working. Mm-hmm. You know, I pride myself in that. You know, it's always taking and listening to other ideas to find out how collaboratively we could grow this community and can grow our tax base, how we can grow our small businesses, how we can improve our schools, how we can take better personal responsibility for ourselves as citizens. I mean, sometimes those are tough conversations to have. I think Absolutely. I could be the person to have those.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Great leaders know how to put themselves around great people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
They're not always the best person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome.
Are you ready, Chris?
I'm ready. Right. Is there anything that you would, before we finish this and tie this awesome interview up with a bow, is there anything you would like to talk about that we haven't talked about yet?
Yeah.
No, I thank you guys because, as I mentioned, this is my first official podcast. I've been in studios to record. To record various commercials for the events, primarily nonprofits, but you guys have a very impressive business model. I applaud you and your youth in doing this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's to be very much so thought of in that at your age, you are where you are. And I would say that to continue along this path. And you guys, I know there's bright things and bright days ahead for you.
Well, it was an absolute honor having you on the show.
And by the way, we are chamber members.
That is phenomenal. Yeah. Continue to advocate for that. I'm going to ask you to join one more chamber. I need you to join it. The Greater Augusta Black Chamber, too. There's two chambers.
We would love to.
Yep.
All right.
So you can join that as well.
Let's do it.
You know, both have their interesting dynamics.
How do we get in touch with them?
I will make sure. Ronique West is, I think she's the president of the Greater Augusta Black Chamber. And I'll make sure you have her information. But they have an organization that also has purpose in our community, primarily geared towards the smaller entrepreneurs who are just trying to get started. A lot of the home-based businesses where you guys are beyond that. But it's the people.
Well, we're
that
not as beyond it as you might think, but that's a really facade. Nice thing to say. I appreciate that.
But it's for the people that are at home saying, I want to start this business home base. And I think the Greater Augusta has keener focus, but they tend to have a larger percentage of their members that are smaller, which I think you guys would fit into, and we would love to engage you in both chambers.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that.
So I do have one more question, and this is a question we ask all of our guests on the show. It's really the ethos of this whole mission of the Drop the Disc show. It's our question.
And of course, the Drop the Disc question is presented by Tranter Gray Media, and you can find them at trannergray.com.
Let me tell you a little bit about Drop the Disc question sponsor, Tranter Gray Media. They do an excellent job with all types of media. If we're talking about a commercial for your business, if we're talking about a website, if we're just talking about branding, getting that plan to start branding your company, that market plan, check out Tranter Gray. They promote Augusta. They promote everything about Augusta, which is why, honestly, they're a perfect match for a Drop the Disc question. Check them out, Tranter Gray Media. Check out the live stream that they're doing for the Augusta Rocks concert on YouTube. It is impeccable. Check them out, Tranter Gray.
We've all heard the negative connotations that the city gets. People from outside the city, people, rumors, or even our own people like to joke about it. And we don't take that joke lightly. If someone were to walk up to you and talk negatively about this city, diss it, what would your response be to them?
You know, that's an easy question because Augusta's home, and I liken it to having family. You can always pick friends, but you can't pick your family. Mm-hmm. And how can you diss a place that provides so many opportunities for its residents? Geographically, Augusta is within 2 hours proximity to some of the greatest destinations in the country. If you think about from an economic development standpoint, we have one of the lowest cost of living, less traffic. One of the best places to raise a family. One of our communities nearby was named one of the best places in all of America to live. So if you think about this region and what this city has to offer, how can you diss it? How can you diss it?
Yeah, we ask that question all the time.
How can you diss it? Now, there's some improvements. Any community is going to have improvements that need to be made. Politically, political things are always going to be a part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. But we have to do a better job as citizens, those who are really, truly, that are invested in this community, to stop the diss. Stop the diss and start the liking. Let's start having this conversation about dislike what we have going on, because there are a lot of great things. We have a strong foundation to build upon. It just takes the right people and putting the right people in the right places to start to have those conversations. And it starts at home. It starts with our friend groups. It starts every place.
Well, Garnett, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure.
Such a pleasure.
To have this conversation with you. One more time, give everybody a quick, how can they find you? You know, how can they do business with you? How can they join the chambers? Give us all of that real quick.
You got it. As I mentioned, my name is Garnett Johnson. I'm the president and owner of two great companies, Augusta Office Solutions and Modern Business Workplace Solutions. Our physical address is 1018 Telfair Street down in wonderful historic Augusta, Georgia. Our phone number is 706-305-3971. Please, if you are running a small business, if you're considering running a small business, if you know anybody who runs a business or anything, engage in your chambers. The Augusta Metro Chamber of Commerce is the advocacy, not only for our small business, large business, but for our community. The Greater Augusta Black Chamber also has a purpose. They help the home-based, smaller individuals, smaller businesses that are looking to get engaged in the process, both have advocacy efforts that benefit benefit small business, and they benefit business, they benefit this community. So please, please engage and join.
And just for clarification, if they order from you, you will not also give them a box of Krispy Kreme donuts.
We still do it.
What?
I love
first
that.
Time, I tell you I what, it's always amazing. First orders, we've done everything from Sherry's Berries. You guys probably know what those are, the donuts. I mean, we've done some creative things, but you order from us, and you know what? If you ask that Garnett Johnson makes the first delivery, I'll have a special treat.
Oh, I want
that's awesome.
That's right. Guaranteed. All right, Garnett Johnson, thank you so much. Thank we you. Really appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity, you guys.
And thank you for tuning into this episode of the Drop the Disc podcast, recorded right here at Augusta Podcast Studio. We'll be back next week with another really great episode. And we would like to encourage you guys, we will not have an Around Augusta today, but we would really like to encourage you guys, if you're looking for something to do this coming weekend, Friday, June 18th, we will have our own Augusta Rocks show. It's going to be raising money for charity. And then, of course, on the 19th, on Saturday, there's going to be a cool show at the Amphitheater in North Augusta. So lots of cool stuff going on this weekend. Follow us on Facebook, social media, Instagram at Drop the Disc Pod. And if you get an opportunity to leave us a review, we would really appreciate that as well. We hope to see you next week. And once again, thank you so much for tuning in with us.